This podcast on WSIU.org is a member-supported service of WSIU Public Radio. Your contributions help provide WSIU's online programming. Call 800-745-9748 or give online at WSIU.org. And thanks.
We had really hoped to maybe have some better news when you came in this month after the legislature finished its spring session at the end of May. They've passed a budget, and I think everyone is aware it's a 6.14% decrease for higher education funding. So
that's
SIU
right.
As a system will lose 6.14%.
That's about $13 million as a system, about $9 million Carbondale and about $4 million for Edwardsville.
You know, we've been saying it seems like for years we can't take any more,
yeah.
And here's another hit. So what does this mean?
Well, as you know, we've spent the last 3 or 4 years cutting back at the department levels, the college levels, and so on. We think we've done about everything we can do at this point in time at that level. The chancellor will continue to look at programmatic changes that may be able to take place to save some additional funds. But if you look at our state appropriations, 75% of that is in salaries. About 18.5% of that is in fixed costs that we can't do anything about. And then we have additional monies that are paid into various other entities. So we have almost no money to work with to do the additional kinds of things that you need to keep up with, you know, in a university. So what do? We simply have to start looking at people, as we have done. Right now, we have left open 505 positions here. There's about 320 people that have already turned in their paperwork to retire by the end of June who likely would not have been retiring this early had the turmoil surrounding the pension benefits and so on been going on in Springfield, which still isn't resolved, by the way. And the 6.14% reduction for the Carbondale campus of $9 million is going to have to be dealt with through some measure of personnel. And it's going to require us to certainly not fill additional positions as people retire from now into the future. But it also may lead to potential layoffs. And we have to be honest about that. We've got to balance our budget. We have no choice in doing that. And we hope that we've never laid off anybody yet, and we don't want to start down that road. But to be honest, it could be a possibility. That's a substantial cut for us. To just put that into real dollars, in 2002, we got $248 million state appropriation for operations. This year, in FY12, we're down to $217 million. This will take us down to $203 million. So essentially, for SIU, we're looking at a $45 million per year cut from where we were in 2002. That's a lot of money to sustain without having some kinds of dramatic effect upon personnel as well as programs and so on. It's something that we've been dealing with, we're going to continue to deal with, but what complicates it even more is the cash flow problems that we have from late payments from the state. It's one thing to get cut drastically. It's another thing to have those payments held up in arrears for 6 months at a time. We're owed right now $75 million from the state, and we're 10 days before the end of the fiscal year. So we're likely not going to get that money till the end of December.
This segment will air on Monday. We're pre-recording this on Thursday because of some scheduling issues. We're starting to hear from some of the bargaining units that they've received, I guess, that first notification from the administration saying that layoffs are possible, giving some dates about when this might happen, but no real concrete answers. At what point do you think concrete answers might be available for some of these people?
Well, it's going to be a while because here again, when the pension reform is finally settled and we're getting mixed signals about whether that's going to happen this summer now or whether it's going to be delayed until after the election in November during the veto override session. But the university is going to have to assume even more cuts in picking up the costs now for the pension, which the state is now getting out of. So the pension cost shifting to the university means that we're going to have to take that $203 million that we're down to now and cut out several more million a year to pick up the share that the state has been picking up in the past. And that could take us down. I think right now what's trying to be worked out is that those costs be shifted to us in an incremental fashion over a period of 5 or 6 years. You know, that still will require additional millions to be cut from our operating budget to make up for those costs. And of course, we have no choice but to do it once the reforms are passed. But we can't tell people right now what the absolute effect of this will be because we don't know yet until the pension reform is settled how much lower our operating funds are going to be set.
A lot of people who look at this, both from the inside and from the outside, say, okay, well, if you're going to have to touch people, will it be across the board? Is there any provision for pay cuts for high-level administrators? You know, can cuts come from everywhere instead of just that front line?
Well, cuts do come from everywhere. I mean, if you look at my office, I've let so many people go in my office over the past few years. We've cut salaries. Last year, the furloughs and so on was affected across the board for everybody in a certain way. So, sure, we'll look at all of that in terms of where we make up for the differences. Administrators are not going to escape being a part of the reductions. They can't be. So, it has to fall across the board on everyone. But as you know, there are union contracts. There are ways of that we have to be responsible to our employee unions and so on where these reductions take place and how they take place. As administrators, we're just not free to go out here and start lopping off people. So all of that has to be negotiated. It all has to be put on the table. It has to be transparent. But, we have an obligation to let our people know that there's a potential here for even deeper cuts than we've had in the past. I mean, Jennifer, if you look at this, I know all the attention is focused right now on TAMS, the IYC in Murfreesboro. Last night I heard that now they're going to close Centralia, a couple places up there. That amounts to hundreds of people in southern Illinois. If you look at what we've sustained already, with the 500 people we've already not filled positions for, with another 300 that are retiring, with the potential of another 200 or 300 in the coming year because we don't have the money to fund the positions, you know, we could be close to 1,000 people that will be affected by the diminishment of funds from the state. That is a lot of people for the Southern Illinois economy to sustain in terms of job loss. It's just devastating the way this is playing out. And it's a tough sell for me. I've gone before our people on the pension reform, on the health care issues, and I've said this is going to have to be some kind of shared burden in order for us to get out of the $83 or $85 billion hole, whichever it is, in the pension system. And, you know, their response is, we want to bring long-term fiscal sustainability to the pension system. But we've paid. We've paid our share. Every month it's deducted from our check for as long as we've lived here. And now we're being asked to pay all over again. Not only that, but no one wants to give us any security in saying this is what the money's going to go to in the future to tell us that this will bail out the system. So without that assurance, we're not going to give our permission have to pay more. I mean, it's a complicated, difficult situation. And I saw a statement from Sheila Simon this morning, and she said it was from years of financial mismanagement and so on at the state level. Well, that's not the employee's fault, and that's what I get back every time we talk to people, and I understand that.
Sure.
You know.
At the end of the day, and this is Morning Conversation on WSIU Radio, and our guest is SIU President Glenn Pichard. At the end of the day, the mission of the university is to educate students.
Exactly right.
There are hits when it comes to that as well, just getting students into the classroom. MAP grant funding is cut. At the federal level, Pell grant funding is in jeopardy.
Yes.
What's going on there, and what level of optimism do you have that that might somehow be saved for the students?
Well, the Pell grants will certainly be there, but they'll be there at a lesser amount for each student. It's like the MAP funds at the state level. They cut at a certain percentage. The same number of students will be served, but the award will be smaller. And that's the same thing that's happening at the federal level with the Pell grants. And what that does to us in terms of enrollment and other things, because we have a large number of students on Stafford loans, Pell grants, on the MAP funds, it makes it less possible for them to afford a higher education. And that impacts our enrollment. It's a very, very difficult thing to manage.
When you talk about, and you've spent a lot of time talking about the necessity for access to education, a good, solid public education.
Yes.
At some point, are we becoming a nation where there is a class of people now priced out of higher education?
Well, there's a lot of people already priced out of it. And again, this is a difficult thing. The tuition increases have come as a result of the state diminishment of funds coming to the universities. And at some point in time, the cost may outweigh the benefit. But every statistical research that I see today says that a higher education degree, particularly a bachelor's degree, is still worth $1 million more in your lifetime than a person without the degree. So for those who want to say that a college education is not worth it, you know, the statistics do not bear that out. Now, there are some people who take an elitist viewpoint and say, forget about those kids. You know, we're just going to serve the wealthiest. We're going to serve the highest level, you know, and any attempt to help those kids succeed or any attempt to bring those families in who don't have the economic wherewithal, we ought to jettison. You know, that to me is such an elitist point of view. And this university has always stood for young people to receive opportunities for a higher education, and I think the country's public universities have stood for that. And I don't see lopping off a whole generation of low-income or even middle-income students to say we're not going to deal with it. But, you know, so anyway.
The university is still, you know, we've talked about jobs that will be left unfilled and jobs that may be eliminated through attrition.
Yes.
But the university is still moving forward. There will be a new chancellor at SIU Edwardsville in the coming days. New deans have been announced here on the Carbondale campus. How difficult is it to balance the progress going forward with your ability to recruit quality right. faculty and staff right. and your ability to keep them here?
Well, the decline in state support makes it less possible for us to compete. As you know, the best faculty today pretty much name their price if they want to. They can go to private institutions and make a lot more than they can make in public institutions. The competitive nature of those jobs have increased tremendously, and if we don't have enough money to compete, then we don't get those the best people. Listen, I have to tell you that and I'm not patronizing anybody here, but I think Chancellor Chang has done a tremendous job in facing very starkly the problems that the university has, and that she has in place many, many, many things right now that can change the culture of our university if we, in effect, have the patience to change 25 years of drift, if we have the monetary ability to put some of these things into effect. Our marketing program is so much more successful right now than it was in the past. You know, all of the attention that we're paying right now to getting those first-year students to be more successful than they've been in the past, these things aren't easy, and they require a restructuring of what's been done in the past. So I think going forward, with her abilities and her vision for the university here, we're gonna maintain our quality, and we're gonna put things in place that are gonna make us a better university. But it's worrisome when you look at the budget for SIU Carbondale, 75% is in salaries, 18% in fixed costs, and so on. The bottom line is, with the cuts that have come down, there's no money left at the end to build on these things that she has in place. And that's what's disheartening to us, because I think the right concepts, the right decisions have been made, the tough decisions. But going forward, it's going to be continuing to keep our shoulder to the wheel and doing everything we can to keep the quality here.
A question that I've asked you before is, are the troubles that we're seeing right now going to right the ship? Is there light at the end of the tunnel, or do you fear it's going to get worse?
Well, I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, certainly, if we can begin to finance the things that are needed to change things around, and that includes getting the best faculty, recruiting the best students, you know, as well as the administrative changes that have been brought to programmatic efforts and so on. Well, I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Where I don't know the light exists is at the state level with respect to appropriations. We cannot continue to get cut the way we have been cut over the past several years. This is devastating to us, and under the circumstances, we're doing the best we can do.
SIU President Glenn Pichard, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Jennifer.